The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Just start looking ahead towards the weekend. The National Football Foundation Arizona chapter is doing their annual event, Scholar Athletes. I am emceeing that event, and I always look forward to it. Bill and Janie Riddle at Valley Luna have asked me to come back, which is very nice of them, as the rest of the board there. And so the event is this Saturday, and Donnie Yantis is going to be inducted for the Frank Cush Coaching Award. Bruce Cooper from Channel 12 will be given the Distinguished Arizonan Award. Jake Plummer will be honored for going into the National Football Foundation College Football Hall of Fame. And so all of that is going to happen this Saturday. So a lot of today's show is going to be around that. I think that the NFF does terrific work, gets some acknowledgement, doesn't get as much attention in the media because they're a bunch of humble, nice people that just go about their business, and the kids are the priority, which is great. It's why I love doing this event. Some events I just won't do. I won't be a part of because it's about, you know, it's making money off kids. It's not what the NFF's about. So we'll have Big Juan Roquet is going to be in studio on the couch here in a few minutes. Juan, of course, was Jake Plummer's left tackle. Jake told me this past week, when we were talking about the event, he can't be at the event. I said, give me a person that you would want to talk about you. And he said, Big Juan. And that was it. So I'm going to have Big Juan Roquet in studio. You'll hear from Jake Plummer on the honor of going into the College Football Hall of Fame this year. And Bruce Cooper may be with us. Goody at the Movies is on a plane to Memphis, so who knows? This is one of those shows. I love doing shows. Drives Eric crazy. And that's why Eric probably decided not to come in today. Eric is out. Because I like it when we have 10 balls in the air and keeping all 10 balls in the air and not having everything so scripted out down to the nth degree. So we're going to have one of those shows today, which, it could be a train wreck. I'm fine with that. I don't mind train wrecks. Car crashes means that we weren't trying. So Devin Henry is chairman of the board today. Devin getting it done on the backside. And we'll just have some fun here. So let's get to what's going on in the world of sports, brought to you by the good people at Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. You need to do it with life insurance. But there's other ways at Sagicor that they can help. It could be annuities. I was with a family yesterday, decided to put something together. It was actually my family, my brother. He has a son who's special needs. And I was going through Sagicor, and they have some products there for people that have special needs children, just to be aware of, and the things that legally you need to do to protect what matters most, as we like to say. So try to make a difference. Go to Sagicor now, log on, get your free quote for life insurance, or look at annuity products as well. That is at Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. So last night, the big story last night was Ja Morant turning pro, in my humble opinion, with Zion Williamson coming into the league. I mean, the Suns got drilled. Devin Booker got hurt. The Diamondbacks lost. There's some things around both teams that I want to get to as the show moves on today. And we have the Final Four to look forward to. I guess when I go through the Ja Morant part of it, it's that the Suns themselves are now in a spot coming down the stretch. Like last night, they were leading early, and it's, what are you thinking? I was out with a friend last night at a local watering hole, and he looks up. He said, look at the Suns winning. And then he says to me, because he watches some, what are they doing? What are they thinking? What are you talking about? The Suns are winning a game. That can't happen. And they ended up doing the right thing. They got drilled. They got crushed. Utah beat them 118-97. Devin Booker had a sprained ankle in that game. Probably best interest to just shut Devin Booker down for the rest of the year. There's no real reason to put him back out on the floor, in my humble opinion. I like the Greg Popovich story last night. Did you see this? He got ejected from a game 63 seconds into it. Pop does a lot of things. People here in Phoenix don't like Greg Popovich because of the Spurs connection. Last time I checked, the Spurs own the Suns. But then again, because the Suns haven't had a playoff game since, with me now, May 29, 2010, everybody owns the Suns, but Pop got ejected 63 seconds into the game last night. That's one of the better stories that I've seen. On the Diamondbacks then, they come home 3-4. So Adam Jones yesterday had a fan ejected from a game yesterday in San Diego because the fan was hurling foul language and other stuff. And so when this happens, it goes to the old age-old question of what rights do fans have at games? Most of us, I would say, most of us know that there is a certain amount of, I don't know, etiquette, acting the right way. It really isn't that difficult. That when you see something like this happen with a fan, fans continue to try to cross lines because I've paid my money. I can act however I want. I can be unfiltered. I can say whatever. I can drink as much as I want. And the teams try to do the right thing. I just thought it was interesting yesterday. Adam Jones just walks out and says, get that guy out of here. And he's going to keep doing it. And I don't have a problem with that, but there's going to be somebody, because there's always somebody that wants to challenge the authority. There'll be somebody who says, yeah, let me see if I can get him to react to me. I would hope it wouldn't happen at Chase Field, but Chase Field is going to be filled with Red Sox fans tomorrow. In a few weeks, Chase Field is going to be filled with Cubs fans. The very passionate, rabid fan bases that invade the home stadium, there's going to be that guy that knows Adam Jones's deal. And that guy is going to try to pick a fight. That guy is going to try to stir something up. That's just the way it is in sports. So while I admire him on one hand, it's how many times can he do this? I'm actually pretty pleased at 3-4 after the just awful start they had in L.A. Just a dreadful start that they had in Los Angeles. And outside of yesterday, through seven games, they're scoring a bunch of runs. They're not having problems scoring runs. When you watch them play, it's a kind of a fun brand of baseball to watch, at least at the plate. You know, on the mound, kind of a different story. Robbie Ray is now 0-2. Didn't get a lot of run support yesterday. Bottom line, he's 0-2. The Red Sox come in tomorrow night, tomorrow afternoon, actually. It's a four, just after 4 o'clock, first pitch. It is opening day at home. I will go. There's certain games that you have to go to if you're going to do this job. You have to go to opening day. You should go to the season opener for every team. If you're going to do this job, you should go to the opening night of the Suns. You don't need to go unless you really want to go and you don't have much of a life, or if you're not on the beat. Why go to see a Tuesday night home game against Memphis? If you're a fan of the Coyotes, great, go as a fan. In our space, you should go to the home opener for the Coyotes. I should be at the season finale for the Coyotes Saturday night. And if I get done emceeing this event, I'm going to be there. The Final Four, get this, on the Final Four, there is not one and done player in this year's Final Four between the four teams. Not one. Not a Michigan State, not a Texas Tech, not at Auburn, not a Virginia. So we're in the season of transfer. You're going to hear names all over the place. Lou Dortz, it's not a surprise. It had been out there at the end of the season. In all likelihood, he's done at Arizona State. Not a transfer, but now Bobby Hurley's got to look around and say, who can I go get to be this year's Lou Dortz? In case we forget, Lou didn't play last season, transferred in. If you look up and down these four teams and their rosters, and in particular, you take a closer look at Auburn. Some of you have mentioned to me and sent notes about, didn't ASU pursue Bruce Pearl? And the correct response is, no, Bruce Pearl pursued ASU. And the better response is, ASU knew that with Bruce Pearl, there was a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. And you're not going to touch that. Has Bruce Pearl done a terrific job? Yes. Did he have an assistant coach that got in a lot of trouble? Absolutely he did. And so when you question whether ASU made the right hire in going with Bruce Pearl or going with Bobby Hurley over Bruce Pearl, I don't think it was ever going over Bruce Pearl. They never considered him. He was trying to drum up interest. Good for him. Tom Izzo, we saw the tape on the first weekend of the March Madness where the player was getting into it with the coach and fans debated how far can a coach go. And what do you know? The team is all the way to the Final Four. So when I see guys that are much younger that say, I would never tolerate this. Yeah, you probably haven't been this far. Tom Izzo's not for everybody, much like in my era, Bobby Knight wasn't for everybody, but I certainly would have had my son play for Bobby Knight if he'd been good enough. I love it when coaches light up players. I do. Either a coach will fail or fall apart, or they'll be able to work through it. All right, we'll take a break here. And on the other side, Juan Roque in studio, Jake Plummer on going into the College Football Hall of Fame, the NFF unveiling the big event on Saturday afternoon. That is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. So one of the really cool things in sports right now in this year is Jake Plummer going to the National Football Foundation Hall of Fame. I called Jake, we've had Jake on this show many times, but I called Jake about being involved in this year's NFF event. He can't make it because of scheduling. So I said, who would you want to talk about you? And he only wrote back Big Juan, and that was it. It was nothing else. So I said, well, let's go get Big Juan and have Big Juan come in studio, Juan Roque. So why would Jake Plummer say that, Juan? Why? Why are you here on Jake Plummer's behalf?
Well, I think over the years since ASU, and obviously, and we'll get to that in a second, our time together there, but we've developed a stronger bond. And I think that as we get older, when you play with guys like Jake and you had that experience, as you become men and you have families and you see each other now on occasion where you saw each other every day for years and years and years, those bonds become a lot more meaningful. And you do really become family. And I was very flattered. I was very surprised.
Were you moved? That he Were you emotional
about it? Of course. Because, you know, when somebody thinks that way of you, it's very humbling. Because, you know, there's a lot of guys Jake could have picked. There's a lot of guys Jake could have said, I want him to speak on my behalf. For him to pick his left tackle, it's almost fitting.
Yeah.
Considering we had a very acrimonious start to our relationship. You know, he was an 18-year-old. You know, cocky freshman, and I was a redshirt freshman, and, you know, I kind of had a little bit of a bad attitude, and he teased me a little bit, and, you know, we had a couple rough goings at the beginning, but
really?
We did, yeah. I tried to choke him once after a practice, but...
how did he live to tell that?
He did. He got away from me. He was quick.
Yeah, he's quick.
But over those years, you know, at ASU, and, you know, the type of young man he was then, the leader and the player, and just basically the glue that bounded us all together. He's just a special guy, man. And I'm just honored to be his brother. I'm honored to be his friend. And I'm honored that he chose me for this.
Did you guys shed tears together ever?
Many times.
On the field or off the field?
On the field, for the most part. Off the field, of course, there were times. Really more as we got older. You know, we started sharing things that had happened to us in our lives. But definitely, you know, again, that's the definition of someone when they're your family, is you through thick and thin, through good and bad. You know, you talk about your experiences, talk about your lows. Everybody knows about our highs. Everybody's seen it, you know, in flesh and blood. But we're also people. We're human beings. You know, we make mistakes. We have those run-ins in life that leave you scratching your head, like, how the heck did I overcome that? Mm-hmm. And we share that with each other. Why not? I mean, there's no walls around us. You know, we're all transparent with one another, and we don't hide who we are. And again, as we go forth in life and we become men and now older men, it's just, you can't help but when we are together, we just talk about what we're doing now. We very rarely get into what we did in the past. It's always like, what are you up to now? What are we doing? Where are our lives now? What are we doing now? And how can we help each other be better in those things?
To bring it full circle on Juan, so NFL draft day, when Juan was taken, Jake was taken. I was in the room. We're at the Biltmore. The three of us are there. Derek Rogers, too, you reminded me, with Lee Steinberg, the agent. And so you go back to that defining day in your life. Right.
Yes.
And Jake, that defining day in his life. and why, and let's move forward to this day. Why do you think he's going to the College Football Hall of Fame?
Jake Plummer is the epitome of a competitor. He is the epitome of a leader. He's a guy who 1 second will have you in stitches rolling on the floor laughing, and in the turn of a corner, he'll get serious, and you'll follow what he says. That's a leader, Brad. Mm-hmm. That is a man who changes other men. Whether you're 20 years old, 40 years old, whatever age you are, there's not very many people like that in the world where 1 minute they can be one way, the second they can be another way, and you take them seriously in all those situations. Mm. Jake was that guy. He, since he was a true freshman, you got an 18-year-old kid coming to Arizona State from Boise, Idaho, who gets handed the starting job on a 2-4 team. that had a local hero. I remember Grady Benton was a starting quarterback. You know, it was a very unpopular decision by Bruce Snyder then. You're going to do what? You're taking away the Mesa kid? The Mesa Jackrabbits getting benched?
Yeah, yeah.
Who just broke Bernie Kosar's record the year before? There must be something wrong with your offense if you're doing this. Well, it was the right decision. You know, went on a four-game winning streak. We ended the season 6-5 with Jake as a true freshman starting. Beat Washington, beat UCLA. You know, some pretty good teams then. That's just who he is. Jake is a guy who you put him in those situations and he finds a way to succeed. That is why he's in the National College Football Hall of Fame, is because he's a guy who did what he had to do to help his team win. He's a guy who left his mark on college football. There'll never be another Jake Plummer. This is a guy who can throw, catch, and run, you know, catch a pass, run in for a pass, and throw for a touchdown in a single game. This is the guy we got. He was, without question, the guy that we followed, and I'd follow him to this day because of that.
What could he do? What could you do on the field that he couldn't?
Oh, my gosh. He can take over a game, like I said.
But you're left tackle. If you decide to fall down, he's done.
Well, of course.
Right. And you're bigger, stronger than Jake.
Of course. But that's, again, when tying into the leadership aspect, the guy that's our guy.
Yeah.
When you have somebody like that leading you, you're going to do everything you can to protect him. You know, you can ask any guy on that offensive line, Cal Murphy, Pat Thompson, Kirk Robertson, Gray Rugemer, Steve Bush, our tight end, we would have broken our necks for Jake. That's how much we loved him. That's how much we cared about him. That's how much it meant to us to have him upright at the quarterback position leading us down that field. And he meant that much to us.
If Jake Plummer doesn't come into your life, where are you today?
You know, I thought about that on the way here. It's funny you asked me that, Brad. I don't know.
Did he make the NFL?
There's so many what-ifs on that one. You know, had Jake Plummer not been in my life, had he not been my quarterback, would I still be where I am now? Would I have achieved what I achieved?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's hard to say. Even coming to ASU, you know, I was committed to USC. The decision to come here in 92, a year before Jake even came onto campus.
You didn't even know.
Didn't know who Jake Plummer was.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, my life is a lot better because of Jake Plummer. Mm-hmm. Can't tell you what my life would have been like without the man. But with him in my life, the things that we experienced, the times we shared, the tears we shed, and the tremendous highs that we lived, and, you know, for a moment in time in this valley, we changed even the culture here because of Jake Plummer. And that means the world to me. And, you know, as we start to now look at years past that are now more than what we, you know, what's been 23 years,
right.
22 years. 23
I had
years.
Hair back then.
You know, 23 so. Years since that Rose Bowl season, and yet here we are. And that energy's still there. And that magic that we had when we get together is still there. I mean, we just have that camaraderie. We're just a group of guys that just loved one another, played for one another, one at a time. You know, we took our oath. You know, I will hustle. I will display courage. I will know what to do. I will care about my teammates. We live that to this day. And you've been around when we get together. It's that love and energy that that brings us together, and Jake is a big part of that. Again, he's that glue that holds us together.
Look into that camera. You're talking to Jake about going in. He's going to see this.
Okay.
What's your message to Jake?
Jake, I don't know what I would have been as a player or as even a person without you in my life. You are the guy who I looked up to, even though I was a year older than you. Admired your courage, admired your spirit, admired your competitive drive. You're ability to just overcome and be able to get to where you need to go, you know, professionally, personally, every aspect of your life, man. You're just a guy who made a difference in mine. You made a difference in a lot of people's lives. It's more than just football, man. You're just a great guy. You're just a great man who happened to play football, who led his team. Love you, brother. Well deserved. Congratulations.
Look at you. You should be doing the show. Juan Roque in studio. Good stuff. Good seeing you, man.
Thanks, Brad. Good seeing you too, brother.
Take care. So as mentioned, and thanks again to Juan Roque for coming in studio to introduce Jake Plummer, because Jake is going to be part of Saturday's festivities with the National Football Foundation. As I said off the top of the show, I've been given a near impossible assignment on Saturday. I've been asked once again by Bill and Janie Riddle to MC the event, the National Football Foundation, Luncheon Valley of the Sun chapter. And I've got two guys that I've got to introduce that do not like talking about themselves. I have Donnie Yantis at Arizona State, who's going in for the Frank Cush Award winner, and I have Bruce Cooper from KPNX Channel 12's Distinguished Arizonan. Coop is with us now. You don't like talking about you. I'm thinking we're going to sit up there and kind of look at each other and play footsie and call it a day. But in all seriousness, Bruce, what does this mean to you to be going in as distinguished Arizonan? And don't give me the class is pretty weak. This is a big deal.
It's a tremendous honor. I just don't know that that they found the right guy. I mean, I think there's certainly far more qualified people for this than myself. But look, it's a tremendous honor. It's a top shelf award. It almost leaves me speechless, Brad. I mean, it's like, are you sure? I want to make sure they absolutely got the right person. Are you sure Bruce Cooper's the guy, you know? But having said that, yes, Brad, it is it's a tremendous honor. And look, I'm just grateful. I mean, I'm almost speechless for words to try to describe the impact.
Yeah. Why are you going in, do you think, Bruce? Why Bruce Cooper as distinguished Arizonan? And again, knowing you, talking about yourself is not something you do. But in this case, why do you think you're going in?
I think probably two things. You know, my tenure, we're talking, 32 years now. And secondly, my work in the high school football arena. So I think those are probably the two areas in which gave me a nod towards this very, very prestigious award.
Do you ever consider getting out of the business? Do you ever consider saying enough of this?
Look, absolutely. My time is definitely winding down. Make no mistake about that. But look, you have to grow in this industry. I still remember my first foray into the media. There was a executive producer who was actually going on a Christmas vacation. And so they asked me to fill in for him for that week. And so there was a 4, a 5, and a 6, and a 10 o'clock show in which I had to produce for a sportscast for our top anchor at the time. And my goodness, I'm telling you, Brad, I felt like I was on roller skates trying to get material done for the 4, 5, and 6. 10 o'clock was a little easier because I had a few more hours to get it done. But through the grace of God, Brad, I was able to get it done Monday through Friday, all the shows. And so when the main guy came back, they were bragging how I got the job done, and they didn't need him at all. Well, honestly, I knew I can't do this. I mean, the deadlines were too much for me, and I just said, it's time for me to find another job. Less than 6 months into my career in TV, I had to find another job. I just got exposed. I can't handle this. Well, I started putting in applications around town, one thing I wasn't going to do, I wasn't going to quit before I got another job. And, you know, finally, Coca-Cola made a call to me. 6 months later, they offered me a job. Well, I'll tell you what, Brad, if Coca-Cola had come to me, you know, 2 or 3 months earlier, I'd have taken a job. But having 6 months to do this job every day, I kind of got used to the deadlines. You see, the more you do of anything, the better at it you become. And so that's what happened to me, and that's how I was able to stay in this business today. Because I promise you, if I got that call earlier than 6 months after I placed in my application at Coca-Cola, I'd have been gone.
Bruce Cooper, distinguished Arizona in the NFF this Saturday in NFF Arizona Valley of Sun chapter. If this person doesn't come into your life, where are you today? Who's that person?
Wow, Brad, that's a great question. You know, and honestly, I'm just going to say my Uncle Bill. Mm. He was a real big supporter of me, just like my other family members were, my mom and dad. But my uncle in particular, he's the one that really steered me into the direction of looking towards your future. I mean, he was constantly on me about my future. I had to have a game plan. I'm in college. What do you want to do? Let's sit down together. Let's figure out what it is you want to do. And to him, he says, look, you love sports. Let's just get you into the broadcasting area. I mean, you know, he was talking about me being a he thought so highly of me. He thought about me being a commentator, doing play-by-play or something, you know, things that I probably wasn't going to do anyway. But he would not allow me to not look and plan for the future. So I'd have to say my Uncle Bill, just based on that advice and him staying on top of me, to always look towards my future.
The situation you've found yourself in 32 years at Channel 12, where you're out on a story and you actually feared for your life or some harm to you.
Brad, I don't think I've ever encountered such a situation.
Okay.
I've never found myself in a situation in which I absolutely feared for my life. That's not been a part of my my history or my timeline.
Did you ever miss a live shot?
Oh, look, absolutely. the first one I missed was in Rosenblatt Stadium, College World Series, Arizona State. Sometimes you're at the mercy of the actually athletes and coaches coming in and doing their part, and you're just waiting and you're waiting. Oh my gosh. That's why I'm letting my photographer know, hey, just keep the live shot up. Make sure everything's right, audio, video-wise. I will run. I will get there. Trust me, I'll be there. And let me tell you something. I didn't make it. Just trying to get that last bit of sound and stuff like that didn't work out. I've had a couple of those, Brad, but fortunately not too many. And you try to learn from those mistakes. You know, you try to say, well, I just got to have a definite cutoff line, a date, a time. I can't let this happen again. So, yeah, it's happened, Brad.
The story that you felt like really gave you the confidence that I can do this. You went somewhere, you did something, and it was, wow, okay, I grew from this story. What was that story?
Wow, Brad, you're really coming up with some heck of a question there.
You covered a lot, Bruce. I mean, you did Rose Bowl. You did Rose Bowl, right? You did yeah. Sun Devil Rose Bowl.
Yeah. I'm going to say it was this, Brad. 1997, ASU is playing Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. It's a game that's going right down to the wire. I thought Arizona State had the win when Jake Plummer had sliced his way in for a touchdown. But we know what happened. Joe Germain was able to complete a couple 4th-and-10 passes and eventually threw the game-winning touchdown pass to Cardinal first-round-to-be prospect in David Boston. It was such a devastating loss, Brad, that I had to go on the air and had to find some way to tell a story that really, I'm going to tell you the truth, it cut at me. Mm. You know, I felt just down. I didn't even feel like I could had the wherewithal to be impartial and do my job. You know, I was impacted that badly, but you know, what I did, Brad, I went and I talked with fans, and fans that were crying, fans that had, you know, a better perspective. And I was able to turn out and do a story that, you know, I didn't think that I really had the moxie to do, just because I was really devastated by it myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I let the story get too personal to me. Mm-hmm. And once I did it and I got compliments from my news director and my sports director and on the story that in which I covered, I said, wow, okay. It opened my eyes to being able to do things even when you don't feel it, and making a story work when it's at its lowest point. So I thought I really grew from that story, Brad.
The player that or coach that you had a dust up with that you wished you would have settled, that you haven't yet? As likable as you are, right? We know that in this business, there's times behind the scenes where it's going down and nobody knows that it's going down.
Yeah, you know, Brad, it really wasn't a blow up, but it's a situation in which it was just a very distasteful time for me to cover. I just swore that I would never, ever ask this guy another question, never, ever do an interview with him, and it's Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds, I just found him to be just the biggest jerk during this situation. You know, look, the Arizona Diamondbacks were spring training down in Tucson.
Yep.
And so we got a call from our NBC affiliate in San Francisco. Barry had just signed this huge multi-million-dollar contract, and they asked if we could go out and get the sound for them. I said, okay, sure. So me and my photographer, I told him, let's show up at, you know, the Giants are going to hit the field at 9 a.m. Let's show up at 8:45, you know, just in case he comes out early, we want to do things. And so, you know, there's the beat writers from San Francisco all out there. And I said, okay, this is real easy. We'll just get in the scrum with them and we'll get it done. And so, sure enough, the players are going out, filing out onto the field. And then the last player to walk out is Barry Bonds. And sure enough, here comes the scrum. And we walk up to Barry, ask for comments about this. He says, guys, we're getting ready to stretch out. Let me stretch out. He says, I'll do it after we stretch out. Okay, so we sit there and we watch the Giants go through their stretching routine. And then after they're done, they hit different areas of the field. Someone's going to do outfield work. Others are going to the batting cage. Others going to the pitching mound. Well, Barry's going to do batting practice. And he's probably maybe fifth in line. There's guys that hit him. So follow the scrum, go up to Barry. These guys, please, no more. He says, look, let me get in my batting practice.
So I can see where this is going.
We wait around. Barry gets done with batting practice. So now we're going up to him again. He says, guys, come on. I'm trying to get my work in. Let me get in my outfield work. You know, get me after practice. Well, so now my photographer said, hey, man, you think we can slip away for lunch? I said, no, our luck is he'll come in and talk. Let's just hang out here. So, you know, they would practice at Indian Bend Park, but at Scottsdale Stadium is where their clubhouse was.
Right.
So the players were bussed back and forth. So now it's the practice is over. Everyone's walking in. We all walk up to Barry, and the scrum now going up to Barry. He says, guys, look, I'm not going to keep my players waiting. He says, get me back at the clubhouse. And we're like, are you kidding me? So, look, everyone gets on the bus, but Barry doesn't even get in the bus. He got into a white Bronco with a friend, obviously, and they drove back to Scottsdale Stadium. So now we're going into Scottsdale Stadium. We go into the clubhouse, and, you know, players are getting their meals, their lunch meals, and they're getting dressed and showered. Different other players are doing interviews at their locker, and there's no Barry Bonds around. So we're just sitting, and we're waiting. I said, because this is ridiculous. It's 3:00. We started at 8:45. So, it's a no-no. You don't go back towards the medical part of any locker room.
Yeah.
But I said, I just had enough. It's long. I went back. And there's Barry Bonds laying on the training table reading the sports section of the Arizona Republic. I shook my head. I came back out, and I told the guys what he was doing. Finally, at 5:55, Barry comes out, and he makes an announcement. Look, I'm going up into the bleachers. I'm going to do a satellite interview with Fox Sports. Then I'll come back and do it. Well, he did. At 5:25, we all finally got our interview, and I was steaming, Brad. I didn't ask the guy a single question, and when we left, I said, you know what? I'll never, ever ask this guy a question or go to any press conferences of him again. This is just absolutely pompous and ridiculous. I just refused. So even though it wasn't anything directed personally at me,
yeah.
I definitely took it personally.
That's good stuff. I'll let you go off that. I look forward to sitting with you on stage on Saturday and continuing this conversation. Bruce, congratulations.
I appreciate it, Brad. Thank you so much.
There's Bruce Cooper with us, distinguished Arizonan, 32 years at KPNX Channel 12, and that will be part of the National Football Foundation Arizona Chapter, Valley of the Sun Chapter, on Saturday. Goody is next, we hope, if he's off a plane. Stay with us. So the AAF folds, and your lens on this and what you saw.
Well, I mean, I think that I want to take like the long view and say, oh, this, you know, I read this thing the other day that the only one lasting memory of the whole league actually involves ASU, you know, a former quarterback getting his head taken off in the first quarter of the first game. The downside of the league is the same thing. I had to look up which quarterback it was. I couldn't remember which one. I think that what I want to say is that it kind of proved again that, I mean, the quality of the play was good, but what we really like are stars. And especially if you're going to try to compete or, you know, with, and it's not a direct competition, of course, the NFL's not going on right now, but if you're going to try to draw viewers, you need somebody famous, somebody more famous than Johnny Manziel. And that was going to be impossible for them, because if they were famous, they'd be playing in the NFL.
Right.
I like to say all that. I guess what turns out to be true is the guy that ended up spending all the money on the league just wanted the app for gambling.
Yep.
Like, he didn't care about the rest of it. It's like that, you know, I was trying to take this big, you know, like highfalutin, you know, thoughtful view, and that's all it really was. And the guy said, I suppose however much he spent, it's going to end up being a bargain.
Well, you know, you're right on that. And my lens is I did the last two games on radio. I actually traveled with them last week. I got to know the coaches, and there were some very good football men there. I didn't see any – there was no joking around with the football side of it. It's a better quality of football than the Arena League. The Arena League has been around longer. Dundon, the crazy owner, did get the app that he wanted. We'll see if they pay the bills. Some of the stuff that's been written in other cities, I never saw that. We flew private. They gave us per diem. There was food on the plane. We stayed in a DoubleTree. There was nothing of the sort that I've read out of Memphis or some of the other cities. And it's disappointing because the NFL, when you get to about mid-November, from my view, Bill, it's dog food on a lot of teams. The roster is beat up, and they just don't develop players. And because of that, the quality suffers, but most people are just addicted to the NFL because of the letters NFL. And there's a space there. It just wasn't happening to fill in this spring league because they did not have the marketing dollars. That's my two cents on it. So I think there could still be a spring league that works.
Maybe, but, you know, you say something interesting about that. And I heard an ad for an Arena League game the other day. And I was driving around, and I was like, oh, that's right, the Arena League. That thing has been around forever.
Yep.
How does that last?
Yep.
I mean, obviously, the overhead is not nearly as much. I mean, and you're not paying them. Like you even like you do these guys, but that seems to have worked somehow. Why does that happen?
No, that's a good point. Movie side, you saw Storm Boy. Tell me about Storm Boy.
I'm going to tell you about it. You're going to think that I don't want to see that, because then that's sort of the way I felt. But it's based on a beloved Australian movie, which was based on a beloved Australian book. And the movie's like 1976 or something, so it's been a while. But and it's about a boy who lives with his dad on this really remote part of an Australian little island kind of thing. And he befriends these pelicans. He, like, saves them from hunters and befriends them, and especially one in particular. And I was just like, oh, I don't want to see that. And I watched it, and it was really good. it was just very heartwarming. And Jeffrey Rush plays the grown up version of this kid, and he's really good. And he's a big business guy now, and he's got to kind of reconnect with his childhood roots and all that sort of thing. So, you know, I recommend it. It was nice. It was fun. It was a very pleasant surprise.
Okay, it looks like Free Willy. Okay, except it's a it's a pelican. It's a pelican. It's not a, you know, it's Benji. It's just, let's just change the script.
What I did not know is that the pelican is evidently a very important animal to Australia. It's like it's somehow tied up with their national identity.
Ah.
I did not know that until this.
I might take my wife. She cries at anything. She cries at...
I'm guaranteed, 100% guaranteed she cries at it.
Oh, she will? So I can
absolutely.
I'll make a bet with her beforehand. Like, I'll make a really good bet with her just knowing, because she'll just lose it. She'll say...
She will cry.
Yes.
Guaranteed.
That's what
let's check in next week and see if she got it.
Right, before you get out of here, Final Four, what do you make out of the Final Four this weekend?
I mean, I think if it's Texas Tech and Auburn, it's a football game, right? I guess I'm pulling for a UVA Michigan State final, and I probably would if I had to bet on it. I'd bet on Michigan State. I guess I'd like UVA to win. I'd like UVA better if I didn't. If my dad didn't work at Virginia Tech, UVA hadn't rejected me, I'd probably like them better. But I still like them, and I'd kind of like getting beat in the first round as a number one seed the next year winning the tournament. That's a pretty good story. So.
All right. Enjoy Memphis and, again, Beale Street and see some scat and have some fun.
I'll do it. All right.
Take care. There's Good Eat the Movies in Memphis and other stuff. That is our show. Devin Henry, our chairman of the board, thanks for being with us. Enjoy your day.